The Lord be with you. Grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to visitors and guests and family from out of town. We're glad you could be here worshiping with us too. And if at any time you'd like to learn more about our church or give us the chance to know you better, you're welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card. Those are found in the seat rack in front of you. You can place it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. And of course, all are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. Welcome as well to those of you who are watching on Facebook Live. We're glad you're here as well. At this time, too, I would encourage you to sign the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign your name and pass to your neighbor and say hello to any new folks during the piece or following worship. And now I'd like to draw your attention to the inside cover of the bulletin, where we have announcements of upcoming events. It is the beginning of the Advent season this morning, so I'd encourage you to continue to pay attention to announcements in the calendar, both the one in the bulletin and electronic communications, which will share more opportunities to connect with the mission and ministry of the church in the coming month. The first announcement I want to make this morning isn't listed in the bulletin, but it's a reminder. Last month, we completed our stewardship, but I want to draw your attention to one other element of that. We still have pledge cards out on the table, but we also have our time and talent surveys. This will be a great opportunity to find ways to get connected to the church in the coming year. So please return those to the office if you can. I think we've received many and are still looking for more to think about ways to get you connected or ways that you can serve through this congregation. Please pay attention to the schedule where you can see our Compline service this evening at 7 as a way of beginning Advent in a contemplative mood. And also stay tuned for our Christmas pageant, which will be in worship in a couple more weeks on December 15th. And now I'd like to offer the opportunity for any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Yes, Leanna.
Hello, it is save the date time for Montreat. Save your calendars, ask off for work, that sort of thing. May 15th through the 17th in 2020. And we are going to have our first wider meeting to get ready for that. So if you are at all interested in helping plan, helping get things there, little jobs, big jobs, we have plenty. We may be coming for you if you don't volunteer anyway. But we're meeting at 3:30 today at the Jones's house. We'd love to have you come join us.
Thanks, Leanna. This is the all-church retreat, so all of you are invited. But I don't think that we could fit everyone for the meeting this afternoon. So are there any other announcements? Let us worship God together, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
please stand for the call to worship. Jesus says, I am coming soon. We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. As the Lord has promised, in days to come, the nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks.
Nations shall not live without sword against nation, neither shall they murmur in war anymore.
Let us pray. God of grace, always faithful to your promises, the earth rejoices in hope of our Savior's coming and looks forward with longing to his return at the end of all things. Prepare our hearts to receive him when he comes, for he is Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. And together we pray. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We confess that we have not expected your kingdom, for we live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and to seek things that will endure when Christ comes to judge the world. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for a time together in worship. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. Yeah, did everyone have a good Thanksgiving? Is everyone still full? Did you eat lots and lots? No, you're not. So, oh, that's okay. We'll eat later in worship, okay? So one of you already asked me before church why everything is purple. And I know a lot of you, especially some of you older ones, know the answer. It's for Advent. Yes. And do you remember what the word Advent means?
It means it's 4 weeks until Christmas.
It's 4 weeks until Christmas. There's green under that. It's convenient. We can just flip it over when we need to. So Advent is a special word. Do you remember what it means? It's that season of 4 weeks while we wait until Christmas. But do you remember what the word itself means? Do you remember, Andrew?
Getting ready for Christmas.
It means coming. God is coming to us as Jesus Christ in 4 weeks. So right, so Jesus
and Santa Claus.
Isn't it nice that they come at the same time? So Jesus is coming. And how does Jesus appear? Holy Spirit. Wow, you have some good answers today. All right. So what does Jesus look like when he shows up? Is he grown up? Is he big and tall and strong? He's a baby. That's right. Born in a manger. You're exactly right. And I know you know this story well because you're going to help us with the Christmas pageant in a couple weeks. But that's just part of it. So Jesus comes as a baby, and we're excited because it's his birthday, and we celebrate. God is with us, and we give presents, and we share food. But Advent means one other thing. And that is, just as Jesus came to the people a long time ago, God still promises to be with us, and that Jesus is coming again. So do you have any idea what that looks like? All your parents are out there thinking, I'm glad he didn't ask me that. You're dusting my shoe. We can do that later. Let's talk about Jesus. So Jesus is coming again. What does that look like? Do you think he'll come as a baby? Maybe. I think one of the things that God promises, Joy Sunday is 2 weeks away. This is Hope Sunday. So one of the things God promises is that Jesus will come again, and that all of the things that we're waiting for or hoping for, the cure to our hurts or the things that upset us, the help to all those people out in the world who don't have enough to eat or who don't have a place to stay, God is coming to help fix all of those things. And that's why we celebrate too. Just as God came a long time ago as Jesus to give people hope, we still hope because we know God is coming to make all things better. And I think that's a pretty good reason to celebrate, don't you? So we'll talk about hope today in Sunday school and beyond, and we'll continue to be hopeful for God coming again this season. Thank you for helping tell the story. Will you put your hands together and we can pray together and thank God for that promise? Let's close our eyes and you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for your promise, for coming to meet us wherever we need you. Give us hope so we can be prepared and excited to receive you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you hold still for just a minute while we say goodbye? As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them saying, God be with you there and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 13. Listen for God's word. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. Just as God has come to us in Jesus Christ as the child in the manger, the baby in Bethlehem, now Jesus promises the presence of God that is before us. The hope we have, all that we wait for, is coming. We don't know when it will be, but we wait with expectation for what's unexpected. In the Gospel of Matthew, listen for God's word to you. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven or the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, speak through your word again to announce that you are coming to us in Jesus Christ, your Son, redeeming our past, binding up our brokenness, and opening the way of hope. We might find you in the creation you love in our own lives, and that your grace would be born in us again. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Ultimately, in Advent, we're waiting on the baby, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, born in flesh and blood as the child in the manger at Bethlehem. This is one of the two sides of Advent. We're walking to Bethlehem with Mary and Joseph waiting for this gift of love. We remember this through the familiar stories and practices and patterns of the season, through celebrations and candlelight and the Christmas pageant. We remember through family gatherings and our experiences of childhood and the delight of the children we see around us. And you can tell the direction I'm going here because the season awakens a little nostalgia in us. And I hope you'll permit a couple of stories because quite recently we've had the opportunity to be nostalgic about this experience of waiting as we welcomed our child this past year. Because at its heart, Advent is preparation for a baby. The hardest part can be the waiting. So last year around this time, we were full of excitement, thinking ahead to this year. What would life be like with three children? It's actually harder. They should have told us that. How would things change? What would our son be like? Who would he look like? What color would his eyes be? What side would he part his hair on? Our Advent and Christmas sped by, and we went to the winter and the spring, and what the first time around with our oldest, Ellie, felt like the slow and strange building of anxiety and excitement at the same time. Now it seemed almost routine. Doctor's visits were less orientations for two deer in the headlights and more affirmations that, yes, at this point we knew what we were doing. At least that's how they humored a couple of know-it-alls expecting their third child. But then come the summer, things changed. Now it became real, and we weren't traveling as we usually did for obvious reasons, so the season of waiting stretched on and on. Our excitement built into anxiety and melted away, just as it does for many parents. And Peter, our son, was growing so large that we knew we just weren't going to make it to the due date at the end of July, and so for 6 weeks, we went to bed every night, expecting to have to dash off into the hospital when it was darkest, because that's how the other two decided to announce themselves. So we had the added worry of trying to figure out what we were going to do with the other children, who would be on call while grandparents dropped everything they were doing from 10 hours away to come and take care of the two older ones. And in the end, these anxieties didn't amount to much, which was grace. The baby made it until my paternity leave. Grandparents arrived. We even arrived at the date of induction that was scheduled, and so as we got up to go to the hospital at 4 in the morning, it felt less like welcoming a child and more like getting ready for a fishing trip. We didn't have to bolt in the night. We even set our alarm. So in the end, everything went according to plan. The preparations were made, and the day came. We recognize that we were and are fortunate in this. Not everyone has the experience of things turning out all right when they welcome a child. What should be a cause of joy and excitement can turn into fear and grief. And often it's not the careful, planned, and scheduled path that gets you where you're going. It's the shock in the night. It's the bolt that comes from the blue, that worry and that anxiety, that radical redirection that characterizes much of what it means to be alive. So life doesn't always feel like a gentle stroll from one place to the next. Sometimes you're pulled out of yourself and you realize you don't have much say in the way things are going. These are the times when you hear things like company downsizing or restructuring or going in a different direction, and all of a sudden you have to pack up your family and move on to the next place or at least the next job. It's the letter that tells you, despite all that you had hoped and planned for, that you were part of a pool of very qualified applicants to the school and there just wasn't a place for you. And that particular door was closed, but they wished you all the best for the next step in your life. It's the routine doctor's visit that turns into something more when you hear words like, "We're going to have to run some more tests," or "We're not worried yet." It's the telephone call you get from a few states away that tells you about the death of someone close to you. Or it's the loss so sudden and so immediate that it changes everything, like the world has turned on its head in an instant. Life isn't just about the gentle waiting and the arrival of something unexpected. Often we don't have time to prepare for those moments which in the balance seem to make up the seminal parts of our lives. Life is about the interruption so much as it is the preparation. And this is the second part of Advent. It's not just the comfortable and the familiar, the waiting that we enjoy as the anticipation builds, the parties and the events, the gifts, the treats, the music, the worship. Advent reminds us that in the bigger picture, our world is characterized by moments of intense pain and change. The world is not as it yet should be, because the solution to all of our aching longings is not present. Advent is that waiting that becomes yearning for something different from what we know by orders of magnitude beyond our imagination. It is nothing less than hope for God's radical interruption into creation so all that's broken can be mended and all that's wounded healed. And how can you ever prepare for that? I'm not really sure that you can. In our gospel reading today, Jesus tells the disciples what it will be like when God arrives and becomes truly present in a radically new way. "For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man." It's the sort of vision of how things will be that comes from apocalyptic literature. It doesn't sound very Presbyterian. "God is coming to judge creation," Jesus says. And the results will be totally unexpected. And to top it off, Jesus uses images for things that don't seem entirely pleasant. So there are two important beliefs that undergird this message of Jesus. The one is that creation is not as it should be, not as God intended. And I'm not sure it's controversial to say that. The news repeats its litany of warfare, greed, and natural disaster, and personal tragedy, so we might be able to accept this idea pretty easily. The world is not as it should be. But the problem has a solution. And this is the second part. Jesus expresses the widely held belief, the hope, that God will intervene to fix what is broken, even in us. What does this look like? For Jesus, it looks like a judgment. That's what he imagines today. But it's not something of fear or pain, but longing and expectation. God is coming to right wrongs for a broken and hurt people. It will be surprising and fearful and unexpected. Think the sort of people who live by a volcano, this hidden thing that can erupt at any minute. Maybe we can imagine people throughout California who live with bags packed, always prepared for that call that the wildfire has come too close, and now it's time to go. This vision of the sudden intrusion of God leads to Jesus' warning. Keep awake, therefore, you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. Life is made up of these seasons of preparation and waiting. It's also made up of those moments that seem wonderful or terrible that break into our reality with surprising speed. How do you prepare for that? You don't. All you can do is what Jesus says, keep awake. That's what Advent is. As much as it is pleasant preparation for shopping, baking, and celebrating, it's a call to remember that we live in a world that is not as it should be. While we feast, we remember that there are people in our community and in our world with nothing to eat. While we shop, we remember that there are people who cannot afford places to live, or people who have to make real choices as to whether or not they could buy healthy food or critical medicine. While we celebrate with friends and family and church, we remember that there are people known to all of us who do not celebrate because they are alone, far away from the extension of love from another, which compounds any alienation that person may feel from God. So while we prepare for something beautiful and wonderful, we remember that there are people far away and people close to home, even people close to us, who long for nothing less than God's radical interruption into the course of their everyday lives. Maybe it will be a gift offered at just the right time, or food shared, or a call on the phone, or maybe it will be just your presence that will offer something of the love of God and restore hope that God's promise is for everyone, even those who feel farthest from it. Keep awake. It means look for the signs that God is at work in this time, at work in your life as it anticipates the coming of Jesus Christ. And you do not know when that opportunity to discover God's grace will come, but it will. We prepare for it because it's expected. We stay awake because we never know when it will be. We stay awake in worship, gathering, hoping, looking for signs that God is already at work to meet us in our lives, restoring and healing us where we need it most. We stay awake as we worship away from here, reading scripture and praying and cultivating those disciplines that allow us to see the presence of God, those radical interruptions in our daily lives. We stay awake as we serve others for whom this season is a struggle and a challenge and a life full of hard things. We stay awake as we prepare and wait, serving the world through our hope, trusting that the God who became present to us in Jesus Christ is still present and will be present even when least expected. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you.
response to the word of God, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In gratitude for the promise of God who is coming even now, let us return our gifts in worship. You may be seated. The world is not as it should be, but here in this place, God meets us and invites us to a table where we can experience the world as it will be, where food is shared, where God's grace and love are spread, so that all who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Jesus Christ promises to meet you at this table. Come, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and Christ will give you rest. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. You set us in this world to love and serve you and to live in peace with all that you have made. When we turned from you, you did not turn from us. When we were captives in slavery, you delivered us to freedom and made a covenant to be our God. You spoke to us through prophets who looked for the day when justice and peace shall reign over all the earth. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of angels and the worship of heaven, who forever sing to the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent him into this world to satisfy the longings of your people for a Savior, to bring freedom to the captives of sin, and to establish justice for the oppressed. He came among us as one of us, taking the lot of the poor, sharing human suffering. We rejoice that in his death and rising again, you set before us the sure promise of new life, the certain hope of a heavenly home where we will sit at table with Christ our host. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The night of his arrest, when the Lord Jesus sat at table with his disciples, he took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you. For so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God." We invite you to come forward and partake as you feel led. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
have all been served. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give thanks for your coming to us in Jesus Christ, your Son, for being present to us in the stuff of earth, flesh and bone, bread and wine. We thank you for Christ's presence in this meal, for being fed by his grace and accompanied by his Spirit to embody his love to the world that is hungry and thirsty for you. Help us in our waiting and in our preparation, that in all things we might look to the hope we have in your coming again, in Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray in his name, in the way Christ teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Prepare and wait, expect the unexpected, and keep awake. For as surely as the child was born in Bethlehem, so is God coming to us even now. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.